Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
I'm Dr. Youngblood, and I'm looking forward to your calls, your questions, your inquiries, your dialogue, and our discussion on the topics that are at hand that we will discuss today. If you want to join in the discussion, ask your biblical questions, you can dial 904-401-1413. You can call us at 401-1413. That's 904. Thank you for joining in. We're looking forward to what God is going to say to us through our dialogue and discussion from a central biblicist standpoint today. What does the scripture say? When I use that term, by the way, central biblicist, what does it mean? It means that our worldview comes from the centrality of the scripture. What does God's word say on the issues? We look at the scripture, and the scripture is very clear in John 17:17, where Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." We look at Jesus' words in John 8:31-32. "If you continue in my words, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." One of the things that we find so often is that those that are what some would simply call pathological liars seem to be embraced and approved by society, and those that will tell you the truth so often are vilified and displaced as having any authority in relationship to the subject at hand in our world today. As listeners, we enjoy your participation. It's a listener participating program, and we're going to talk about what some call social and political and theological and biblical and spiritual issues. But with all that is said and done, we want to find a biblical answer to what we have as questions in life. I think that we have all been watching the news recently. I pray that you have been cognizant and aware of some of the things that's taking place. We have found that we're watching the Obama administration today use the Islamic jihadist terrorist attack and the massacre in Orlando as an excuse to try to infringe on our Second Amendment rights. We have the right to keep and bear arms, and it's the only one of the amendments that says shall not be infringed upon. What does it mean to infringe upon? It simply means to modify, to change, to dilute, to some way abridge, or to nullify the strength of what is said. In fact, it's an interesting thing that the UN, perhaps you've seen it on the news or heard that, perhaps you haven't. The UN, that's the United Nations, now calling on the United States of America to ban guns in America. In fact, it comes from the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights in the UN, asking America to adopt what they call robust gun control measures that will preempt further killings. Well, perhaps you're aware of the fact that Muhammad Atta, in the 9/11 skyjacking and the travesty and the massacre that took place then, they used box cutters. We've never tried to implement any type of laws or modifications of our present laws to make box cutters illegal. Drunks driving a vehicle will kill with manslaughter and homicide will kill someone. We've not outlawed to this date anything as far as the use of automobiles. The state wants to have gun control, state control. But what's wrong with, as one person said recently, what's wrong with asking us to have self-control? Why not push self-control? Muslims want America to be disarmed. And so our liberals in Washington, whether it's in the U.S. State Department or the State Department on our local state levels, our loose, as I call them, the loose likes lost liberals, are wanting to ban weapons, wanting to disarm America, wanting to control our citizens, trying to nullify religious liberties and freedom of speech. And literally, in doing so, listen very carefully, in doing so, the liberals in our nation today, the liberals slash socialist slash light, communist light, that's L-I-T-E, like Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, simply are becoming useful idiots in the hands of the Islamics. They are having a heyday, perhaps laughing up and down the streets of Baghdad and other places as a result of what we're doing in America because of the jihadist killing in Orlando. In fact, just a few weeks before the Orlando massacre with the Islamic jihadists, one of the chief Islamic, what is called hate preachers, called for gays to be executed. And lectured in Orlando just 3 weeks before the nightclub massacre, and he flees to Australia. Now, one of the things that's right unique and unusual, and yet it's not necessarily unusual, I'm delighted, but the Muslim cleric who previously called for the death of gays in Orlando is now being banished from Australia and they're demanding the public outcry that he leave their country. I'm thankful that they're taking that stand. America has not. We've not done so. When it comes to the right to keep and bear arms, that's an important subject in my book. In fact, I had the privilege of publishing a book just a few years back on that subject. By the way, if you want to call and participate in this, ask questions, join in the dialogue, the discussion, call us at 401-1413. That's 904-401-1413. We invite your participation. This is a question and answer program. It is open for public dialogue and discussion, and we invite you to do so. But on page 32 of my book, The Doctrine of Second Amendment, The Doctrine of Self-Defense, George Mason said to disarm the people is the best and most effectual way to enslave any people. It was Richard Henry Lee, 1788, said to preserve liberty is it's essential in the whole body of people always to possess arms and be taught alike, especially when young, how to use them. What is he saying? He's saying that it's necessary for us to be armed as a people, and also it's necessary for parents to train their boys and girls as they're growing up how to use them. Thomas Jefferson said, "The Constitution of our states asserts that all power is inherent in the people, that is, the right and the duty to be at all times armed." And I could go on and on with the quotes. Suffice it to say, our founding fathers and the leaders of yesteryear recognize the major danger. Let me link this and tie the loose ends together. We're talking about the massacre in Orlando. We're talking about that being done by Islamic jihadist terrorists that President Obama can not find in his vocabulary the ability to link together the word Islamic and terrorist or Islamic terrorist in one sentence. In fact, in all of our FBI manuals, CIA, the Secret Service, and I can go on and on and on with the police authorities of our nation, they've taken out of the handbooks any directives for their agents to even use the term Islam and terrorism in the same sentence. It is a banned philosophy to say that it is coming from Islam. And yet out of the Pew Research poll, the Pew Data poll, just this week, said that more than 60 million Muslims, now that wasn't 60,000, 60 million Muslims favor ISIS. In fact, after the bloody massacre in Orlando, done by the Islamic terrorists, media and political elitists are like clockwork, this article says, tripping over one another to remind us that Islam as a whole should not be held responsible for the carnage that took place in Orlando. Yet the perpetrator, the Islamic jihadist that did so, had pledged to ISIS and the ISIS leader his allegiance. And then on his Facebook, he was praying to Allah that Allah would accept his pledge to ISIS and the murder plot that he had in mind. May I remind us that it is the Islamic jihadist that's responsible for that which has taken place in Orlando. But listen, And if you have comments, remarks, you want to comment on this, you want to participate in this conversation, this dialogue, call us at 904-401-1413. We're all saddened by the fact that 49 people were slain, massacred, in that homosexual nightclub, that place where sin prevails, where immorality and ungodliness and evil and wickedness pervades the atmosphere of a place like that. May I say that we need to mourn and be in prayer for the families that lost loved ones, sons and daughters, mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, et cetera, infinitum, et cetera. But listen, we cannot do as one mega pastor in Orlando has done. I'll call his name. I don't mind doing so. The mega church pastor, Joel Hunter, has said that he's going to examine his heart after the gay club shooting. He goes on to intimate in his dialogue and the interview that somehow, some way, that it's the evangelicals, the Christians, the conservative believers that are responsible for the massacre in the Orlando sodomite club. This man is either illiterate, ignorant, or both of what the Word of God says. God's Word is very, very clear. God's Word is without any apology. In fact, we find the condemnation of homosexuality from cover to cover in the Scripture. We find the Bible giving us the directives that as believers we ought to live quiet and peaceable lives. That as believers we ought to honor God and walk with Him and study His Word and know His Word. In fact, the Scripture admonishes us, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. We have the responsibility of knowing the Word, studying the Word, meditating on the Word, hiding the Word of God in our hearts so we might not sin against God. Now, question begs to be asked. Does that mean that we are free of sin? Does that mean that we never have an evil thought or a wicked deed? Does that mean that we are perfect and pure with any sin? Absolutely, unequivocally, no. The Scripture says in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verse 9, 10, and 11, and I'll paraphrase because it outlines there the whole litany of those that continue in sin. Liars, adulterers, those that are idolaters, those that worship images rather than worshiping God, those that are effeminate, those that are homosexual, those that have a sodomite lifestyle will not inherit the kingdom of God. Listen, we can be benevolent about the massacre in Orlando. We can be saddened because of the loss of life. We can be saddened because of the penetration and the permeation of Islam in our nation today that seem to have a free hand. And just as John McCain today publicly said that it was Barack Hussein Obama's fault for the massacre in Orlando simply because of his refusal to do anything about the Islamic jihadists. And I'm in full agreement with that. By the way, I don't normally agree with John McCain, but I'm in full agreement with that statement that he's made. May I remind us, it is necessary for us to recognize that sin is sin. But the Scriptures are replete with evidence and declaratory in its statement that if a person continues a lifestyle of sin, it's an impossibility for that person to go to heaven. There's two places, and we have the choice. One is heaven and one is hell. Hell is just as real and just as eternal as heaven is. There are a lot of people today, perhaps you're listening and you want to vehemently disagree. That's your privilege and prerogative. Perhaps you say there's no such thing as hell, no such thing as a burning fire and brimstone place. There's no such thing as a real devil. There's no such thing as a real temptation and a tempter. I've got news for you. You've either never been saved or you're illiterate or ignorant on the Word of God, because the Word of God is very clear that those are the two choices, heaven or hell. The rich man and Lazarus is a good example. The rich man had plenty, lived in plenty, but he was lost. He didn't go to hell because he had plenty. He went to hell because he had not made a choice, a decision for Jesus Christ. Lazarus died and went to paradise, the Scripture says. The rich man looked up, lifted up his eyes to Father Abraham and prayed that he somehow, some way might bridge the gap and leave that gulf and bridge that gulf and go to the place to warn his brothers, because he had five brothers that were also going to go to hell lest someone intervene. And the admonition to him, and I paraphrase the text, if you have not listened to the Word of God and adhered to the preachers of God, then someone coming back from the dead would not change the mindset of the lost person. We need to be very careful to understand there are a lot of people in society today that say, we're saved, but we're homosexual. We're saved, but we're lesbian. We're saved, but we're living a dissipated life. That's an impossibility. That's an oxymoron. In fact, though I do not disagree with, though I do not agree with, that is, much if not most of what Islam says. The Islamic Society of North America says homosexuality is a moral disorder. Let me read the little blurb from the article. Homosexuality is a moral disorder. It is a moral disease and a corruption. No person is born homosexual, just like no one is born a thief, a liar, or a murderer. People acquire these evil habits due to a lack of proper guidance and education. Further quote, there are many reasons why it is forbidden in Islam. Homosexuality is dangerous for the health of the individuals and for the society. It is a main cause of one of the most harmful and fatal diseases. It is the most unnatural way of life. Homosexuality leads to the destruction of the family. Now listen, folks, it's a rare thing for you to hear this preacher, this central biblicist theologian, to agree with Islam, but that statement is correct. But by the way, that also mitigates into the fact and is a nexus as to the rationale that they use for going in and murdering 49 sodomites in a sodomite club in Orlando. My Bible says that we're to love the sinner and hate the sin. The Quran says that Allah hates the sinner. May I remind us there's a vast difference, because Allah is not God. He is not the creator controller of the universe. God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Lord Jesus Christ, which is God incarnate, God come in the flesh. May I remind us there's a need to say yes to Jesus Christ. There's a need for us, we as believers, to impact the lives of others with the gospel of Jesus Christ and turn them from their wicked ways that will ultimately send them to that place called hell. But may I also admonish us and remind us, the liberals and the socialists like Clinton and Sanders today and Obama will condemn peaceful citizens and commend what they call peaceful Islam. The liberals are pushing for no boundaries, no borders, no guns, no ethics, no morals, no God, no values, no individual responsibility. The scripture is very, very clear where it tells us to lean not on our own understanding, but in all of our ways, acknowledging God and allow him to direct our paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, a favorite biblical text of mine. So what do we do? What is the point that we need to understand in this broadcast today? I want us to go to a text. If you have your Bibles, if you're seated at home and you can open your Bible, if not, when you get home, open your Bible, study the text. It's Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. You can call and participate in this dialogue and this discussion by dialing 904-401-1413. 401-1413. By the way, let me just insert this thought. This Sunday is Father's Day. Wonderful opportunity for us to recognize fathers. It's the father's responsibility, the husband, the dad in the home, to be the head spiritually. It's the fathers, the men in America, that has the responsibility under God to be the heads in our churches. It's the father, the dads, the men in the home that God is charged with the responsibility to lead our nation and to protect our nation from ungodliness and unholiness and to point men and women, boys and girls, to faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and his Lord. The Quran is a demonic book. The death of 49 homosexuals in Orlando in that nightclub is from an Islamic jihadist, and the Quran is the one that is their authority. The Bible says that we are to love the sinner and hate the sin. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 32, and time will not allow us to read the entire unit of thought and to in any way try to do in-depth exegetical study of it, but I simply call it, as we look at the text, the reprobate mind, the reprobate mind. In your leisure, study those verses 18 through 32. First of all, it starts out with the condemnation of the reprobate mind in verses 18 through 22. First of all, the reason is in verse 18 through 20, they reject God's word. they reject God's word. Listen, if you start out on a premise and on a basis that God's word has no authority, if you start out on the premise and on the basis that you're not going to adhere to God's word, listen to God's word, obey God's word, then you're in trouble automatically. You're in trouble out of the opening gate, if you will. We're talking about now the condemnation of a reprobate mind. It's because they reject God's word. When we look at that which is found today that's permeating society, that's causing the open bathroom edicts, the open bathroom directives, the expansion of what's called the HROs, which is going to be attempted again, I understand, in our city, the human rights ordinance, no such thing as a human rights ordinance. They're wanting to expand the special gay rights privilege. And the basic bottom line is, you find me any sodomite that you can talk with, and I'll show you a person, I'll show you an individual that's rejected the Word of God. They tried to mitigate it, they tried to modify it, they tried to abridge it, they tried to in some way overlook it and say that it really doesn't mean that what they're doing is sinful. Secondly, they rebel against God's way. Not only do they reject God's word, but they rebel against God's way. Verse 21 and 22 talks about that. It says in verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They became fools. Now, God said it, I didn't. There's some folks who get a little pent up if I say a person is a fool. You study the book of Proverbs, and you find there's a comparison and contrast with that person that is wise and that person that is a fool. God said it, I didn't. We need to recognize there's some fools in the world today. And a fool is one that has said in his heart, there's no God. There's no God to be reckoned with. There's no God to honor. There's no God to obey. There's simply no God. So we're looking at Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. We see, first of all, the condemnation of a reprobate. And secondly, the cause of a reprobate. What causes a reprobate? Verse 19 through verse 22, they refuse God's way. Not only do they rebel against it, but they totally out of hand refuse it. I've had the opportunity too many times to witness to and to share and try to communicate the truth of God's word with those that are caught up in a loose, lax, lost living lifestyle, primarily found in the sodomite community. And those that say that I love Jesus, but I'm going to have sex with a man. I love Jesus, but I'm going to have sex with another woman. That is a stench in the nostrils of God. It is a refusal to obey God's way. God's way is the only way. God's way is the right way. God's way is the only way that allows an individual, man, woman, boy, girl, to one day spend eternity with him in heaven. You can't just say, I know God. You can't just say, I love Jesus, and live any kind of old lifestyle that you want to. We're talking about the cause of a reprobate mind. They refuse God's way. Romans chapter 1, verse 19 through 22. Secondly, they rely on godlessness. Godlessness. They rely on that. The 23rd verse says in Romans 1, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like the to corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beast and creeping things. Literally, they rely on godlessness. They rely on gods that they have invented, gods that they have determined that they need to worship and honor. But we get down to a bottom line that I must cut through the chase and go to for our edification, learning, and understanding. That is the consequences of a reprobate mind. In verse 24, the scripture says, God gave them up to uncleanliness. What does it mean? God gave them up. He surrendered them over to a sinful, lustful lifestyle. They've said no to Jesus Christ. They've said no to God's word. They've said no to God's word. They rejected God's word. They rebelled against God's word. They refused God's way. They rely on their own little gods in life. And so God gave them up to uncleanliness. Secondly, in verse 26 in Romans 1, God gave them up to vile affections. That is evil, wicked, vile affections, lifestyles. And then in verse 28 in Romans 1, and God gave them over to a reprobate mind. What does the word reprobate mean? A reprobate mind means a depraved mind, corrupt, sinful, immoral, shameless, wicked, evil, profligate, degenerate, damned, debauched, dissolute, lost mind, unruly. It is a dangerous thing for an individual to live a lifestyle to the point where God gives them up to uncleanliness, God gives them up to a vile affection, God gives them over to a reprobate mind. We need to be very, very careful when we're in dialogue and communication. It is all right to have sympathy for and have a concern for families that have lost loved ones in the terrorist attack in Orlando. But please, 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 I beg you 10,000 times, please do not allow that to in any way muddy your thinking or to in some way mitigate what the Word of God says, that you come to the point of saying, oh, we need to embrace the sodomites because poor little homosexuals, they've been abused and misused and so forth and so on. If God has given them up to a reprobate mind, their mind is unchangeable, generally speaking, unless the Holy Spirit of God revisits and woos them unto himself. But it's a dangerous thing when the scripture says, and God gave them up, God gave them over, and God gave them up to a reprobate mind and to uncleanness and to vile affections. May I once again tell you that this is a call-in question and answer broadcast. We solicit and we encourage your participation. The real joy, by the way, comes in dialogue and participation on the subjects that we cover day to day, Monday through Friday, 5 days a week at 5 o'clock till 5:30 on this broadcast. May I remind us, this Sunday is Father's Day. Honor your father, not just our heavenly father, but our earthly fathers. Be in church, and let me invite you to come and worship with us at First Conservative Baptist Church. We're located right in the heart of Mandarin. We'd be delighted to have you. Our worship service is at 10:45 on Sunday morning. We're looking forward to a wonderful message from God's Word this Sunday. We're looking to have you as family members, as moms and dads and sons and daughters to come and worship with us. And may I also remind us that with Conservative Theological University, we're offering partial and full scholarships for the fall enrollment. You can reach us at the university at 1-800-GO-BIBLE, 1-800-GO-BIBLE, or conservative.edu. And you can go to conservative.edu and scroll down to the church link and go to our church webpage. Read our doctrinal statement. If you're looking for a church home, if you're looking for a place where without apology the Word of God is proclaimed, without apology we speak forth the truth of the Word of God in context. It's reviewed. We look at God's Word in a literal interpretation, not an allegorical study, but in a literal interpretation of what God's Word says, how God's Word is to be applied in our lives. We look forward to having you to worship with us. Let me remind you, Monday through Friday at 5 o'clock, right here on this same station, this same network, at 5 o'clock we have Let's Face the Issues. We want to face the issues that we're faced with in society, faced with in our community, faced with in life, and see what God's Word says and how we ought to respond in accordance to that. May I remind us, the scripture is very, very clear, thy word is truth. And therefore, we want to speak forth the truth in love and pray that God will use it to convict hearts and lives of men and women, boys and girls, that they might come to know him as Savior and as Lord. And by the way, just a little footnote to all that's been said. These folks that are caught up and involved in homosexuality, if they continue in that, they're lost, just as the person caught up and involved in cheating, lying, stealing, adultery, idolatry, etc., etc., etc. I hear the music, and I know our time is about gone for today, and I'm thankful and delighted that you join with us. Join with us tomorrow on Let's Face the Issues at 5 o'clock.
Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.